preached in a few moments as we participate and partake in communion, the Lord's Supper, together. I just want to preface it by saying a few things to get us headed in that direction. You know, as we gather together, even in our not just for communion or the Lord's Supper, but even just in our gathering together in corporate worship, we today, as we're coming around what we call the Lord's table, we do so with a host of life. when you come to the Lord's table, you come with yourself, you bring your life with you. Now, we understand by Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we cannot just mosey up to the Lord's table nonchalantly and partake when we're living in open rebellion to the Lord. And if we're willfully carrying about within us unrepented, unconfessed sin. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 these words that the Apostle Paul wrote, 27 through 29. He was giving instruction to the church at Corinth, and he said, "Whoever therefore eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine him or herself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." And he goes on to say, "For whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself or herself." So we are to approach communion time. We understand that the context within which Paul was writing was a greater context than just the communion. There was a greater context of more food and more meal and more things going on there because of the other instruction that he gives about eating at home. Don't come expecting to eat. And many have misconstrued that, and they say, "Well, you can't eat together on Sunday mornings." He says not to do that. And there's fellowships who congregate. Congregations who will build the fellowship hall away from the sanctuary building. It will not be attached. I grew up in North Georgia, and you look at all a lot of the country Baptist churches, and there's two buildings sitting there. Why? Because they take this verse out of context, these verses, and say, "Well, you're not supposed to eat in the church. You're not supposed to come to eat." So if we do it in another building, it's okay, as long as we don't do it in the sanctuary building of the sanctuary. And we can misconstrue all that what Paul was writing there to the church. But he's instructing us to come to approach the Lord's table with a clean heart and a renewed spirit within. David prayed in Psalm 51 for a clean heart and a renewed spirit. But with that said, we still come to the Lord's table with life, do we not? We come with life. And it may be that you're facing a really big decision this week. Guess what? You bring that with you to the Lord's table. It may be that you're awaiting a doctor's a report from a medical test this week. Guess what? You bring that with you to the Lord's table. It may be that you're struggling against some heavy temptations. And that sin that so easily entangles you, the enemy knows. And even the lust of your own heart, and you're bombarded with it. You're bombarded with it day in and day out. And you bring that with you, that being tempted. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one or a friend. You bring that grief with you to the table. You may be suffering in some other way, from anxiety or someone being mean to you. Maybe you have too many bills and not enough check left. You bring that with you to the table. Jesus' call is what? Jesus' call to us is to come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's his call. His call to come. Some of that weariness and heavy ladenness is, it just happened. You don't know how it happened. You really had no part in that happening, but life became heavy and life became a heavy burden. Some of us maybe here today, we brought it on ourselves. Bad choices, mistakes, not being obedient to the word and to the Lord. And we did things that and said things and caused things that have caused us to be heavy laden and burdened. Jesus' call is the same, is to come unto him. We don't minimize those things we do, the choices we make, mistakes we make, and the things we do. We don't minimize those and just say, oh, que sera, sera, it's okay. Whatever may come, may come. We don't take those lightly. But they're real. And each and every one of us have made mistakes this past week. Some of us more than we would have liked to have had made this last week. And we bring those with us. The call is to come. So just for your information, kind of the way we do communion here, if you've never celebrated and partake, celebrating communion with us, we may do it a little differently than you're accustomed to, but we do it in a very reverent, worshipful format, and that is we have two sets of elders, a set on either side for convenience for you, and we have the bread and we have the fruit of the vine, and you come as the Lord leads you, come and you partake in it, and then you're welcome to go back to your seat with your element, or you partake of it and go back to your seat and continue worshiping the Lord. But so when I'm saying as you come, we actually come in a physical sense. We do come. But as you come to receive the elements of communion, the reality is that you're being called to Christ, not just a liturgical or a religious format or a thing that, oh, we got to work this in because we need to do communion four times a year or this many times a year. You're not coming to a rite, a religious rite. You're coming to come to Christ when you're called to the table. And we understand scripturally that the elements themselves do not become anything, but we understand that the symbolism and the call to come is real. And so as you come and you head back to your seat, then the call is to remember what? Remember the Lord's death and his resurrection. To remember the cross and the empty tomb. And when we do so, we are reminded of what we've already learned today from the Word, and that is the call to be courageous. You see, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, because of his finished work, you have the ability, by God's enabling grace, to walk courageously in this world. Not puffed up, not haughty. The Scripture speaks against that. But to walk courageously, knowing that your faith in Christ is not in vain. That's the courageous part. Knowing that it's not in vain. That how you, as you live and breathe in Christ, it's not wasted. So you can courageously walk in faith. And as Bill talked about promises a few weeks ago, and we looked other times that we looked at the Scripture, our memory verse was, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, yes, and amen. Joshua 1:9 again tells us not to be what frightened, not to be dismayed. That word dismayed, mazed, means to be unnerved. Would be a word that you may associate more with. Don't be unnerved by the things going on around you. Don't be unsettled by the things you watch on the news or you read or whatever you hear. Don't be unnerved. Don't be unsettled. Don't be dismayed. So as you come forward, you bring all of life with you. And know that the stuff of life coming up here with you does not dictate you. Your identity is not those things going on. Your identity is Christ. It's Christ. The things going on, it's not who you are. Who you are is in Christ. That's who you are. You belong to the King. You are a child of the King. You belong to Him. You're an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ. Christ is your brother. He's your Lord, Savior. He's friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We just sang. And so know that the life that you bring with you is not ruling over you. Christ is ruling over you. Jesus is ruling over you. And remember, the remembrance of Jesus' victorious death on the cross in communion, it reminds you that He is the Lord of your life, that He is Lord. He is Lord over you and Lord over all that you stand up and bring with you as you come to the table. He's Lord over that as well. What do you say? I have overcome the world. And that's everything that goes on in the world. He's overcome that as well. So we studied this morning in our Gospel Project study, in our Grace Connections, Joshua 1 through 3, the 3 points we looked at that says God goes with His people to give them strength and courage. God goes with His people. The second point was God goes before His people to demonstrate His power. And the third point was that God calls His people to remember and testify what He has done. All three of these things that we studied this morning are true in the celebration of communion. All of them. Every one of them. You see, that word that you learned from Joshua didn't end when you walked out of class this morning, your connection group. It continues on. It's applicable here. So bring what God taught you and what God is teaching you, bring that into this time of communion. And the ranking at the top of this is the fact that know that God is with you. Know that He's with you. And you're not coming alone. You may stand up and feel like you're coming alone. And you may stand up and come to receive communion and feel like I am the only one in the whole world who is dealing with this, who is facing this, who this has been said to, whom this has been done to, who is struggling with this right now, who's getting ready to receive this information, this whatever, this news. I'm the only one who's facing a financial struggle right now. That's the enemy would tell you that you're the only one and that God has left you. And look at all these other people. They have it all together. Look at them. But what you don't know in their hearts is they're wrestling with the same thing on a different front. Looking at you going, you got it all together. I wish I could be like Janet. I wish I could be like Carolyn. I wish I could be like somebody else. But know that when you stand up to come to communion, you don't come alone. Christ is with you. God is with you. He's with His people. That's the promise that we have. So let that rank at top. He's already gone before you. And the testimony is, and God calls His people to remember and testify what He has done. What He has done, He has demonstrated His love for you, and that while you were a wretched, vile worm of a sinner, guess what? Christ died for you and for me. And we read in Romans 6 that He now lives to God so that you can consider yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus the Son. Let me read that again. This is Scripture. This is not me talking. This is Scripture. It says this. And now he lives, speaking of Christ, he lives to God. Why? So that you can consider yourselves alive to God in Jesus Christ, the Son. So as you stand and come to the communion table, because of what Christ has done, because of his death, we read them quite often in Romans chapter 6, the first verses before that, where it talks about us being buried with him and him being crucified and him being raised alive. And so the very thing that communion remembers, the very thing that communion celebrates, and so as you stand and you come and you bring life with you, know that because of what Christ has done, you are alive to God in Christ. You are no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. You're alive to God. And that's the call to courage as we celebrate and remember the Lord's death in communion. As you partake this morning, you testify of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy, to die for such a worm as I. Let's pray. As the elders come, Father, we thank you for giving us this memorial. You gave the Israelites a memorial for crossing the Jordan into the promised land of the stones. Lord, you have given us even a greater memorial in this communion, this time of Lord's Supper, this time of the new covenant version of the Passover, where we celebrate the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world, for our sins. And Lord, I pray for us, each of us, as we stand to come. Lord, I pray for the one who cannot come for whatever reason. We pray, God, that you would continue to do a work in them and to draw them close to you. And for those who stand and come, we just pray, God, that this would be more than just a thing that we do. Lord, that the call is to remember your goodness and your grace to us. The call is to remember that because you died and now are raised, that we too have been raised to walk in newness of life. And that because you live to God now, that we too are alive to God in you, Jesus. Lord, may that be our reminder this morning. May we remember that as we remember your crucifixion, your resurrection. And may we walk courageously in faith in you, knowing that though the world could even do the greatest harm to us, and that is to take our life, that we do not fear the one who can destroy the body, but we fear you, Lord, the one who can destroy both body and hell and soul. And so, God, we pray that we will walk in a courage that is founded in you, Lord Jesus, until you come and you find us faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.